Yep, that's me. Bet you're wondering how I got into this crazy situation. Well, it's not exactly a long story. It takes about a year. This episode of Hey, Let Me Tell You About is Hey, Let Me Tell You About How I'm Living in Japan Right Now and I'm Actually a Character in a Manga, and other tidbits of information.
Also, it's just called Let Me Tell You About.
Oh, there's no hey? But how are you supposed to...
There's no hey, it's just Let Me Tell You
How are you going to grab their attention if there's no hey?
Well, I can probably change the periods to exclamation That's points. Good. That might be too intensive.
Right. Oh yeah, I forgot. This is Deadeye again, right?
Yep, this is Deadeye. As you may recall from Neopets, and I think you were on the Shadowrun episode.
A little bit. The infamous Neopets episode, which I did not expect to be that popular.
I don't think anyone
That's
did.
That's crazy.
After all, it's fucking Neopets.
Yeah, so I guess the way this episode's got to start is by telling you that I am literally living in Japan right now, and that may be of interest to the weeb audience of this podcast.
It's so small in that apartment, you can hear him pee.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I can get up, walk around my entire apartment with just my headphone cable, and never really have to leave my computer, which is great. But
I mean, I do the same thing, essentially.
This whole story, there's many twists and many turns, many master plans hatched, and ridiculous happenings. But it all starts back after I came home from my first study abroad from Japan. Like, we'll do another episode of just Jap 101 stories with my brother.
There's some real fucking characters.
Characters is putting it mildly. If anyone's listening to this who is thinking, hey, I like Japanese cartoons, I might want to learn Japanese one day, don't. Don't do it. There's nothing good can come of it. My entire life is one big outlier. Like... And that outlier has ended up with me living in a tiny apartment, so that's the best you can expect. Like, Japanese class is a hellhole, and you will not enjoy your time there. But we're going to skip my undergraduate blunder years and go right back to when I first got home from study abroad and graduated from college, because I'm an old man now, and... When I got back from study abroad, I stepped off the plane from Tokyo to Columbus, Ohio, and you can imagine, like, the sinking feeling I got in my heart that was just, oh, I'm back in Ohio now. And I had no way to rectify this situation. It's literally just like, oh, this is back to my life now. Because...
I mean, Ohio kind of sounds like a Japanese word.
It literally is a Japanese word. It means good morning.
Well, there
Which
we go.
Which is why every time you meet a Japanese person and you say, hey, I'm from Ohio, they go, like the word good morning, ha ha, pun joke.
I bet that
no,
didn't get old.
No, not old ever. Never, never, never old. It got old. It got old the first time I heard it. No, the reason that there's a Ohio is well known is there's a big Honda plant. Outside of Columbus, and I actually worked for a company for a little bit that did some business with them. But that's part of the story that comes later. So I got off the plane. I go back to my parents' house because, you know, I don't have anywhere to live. And they're like, hey, so when are you getting a job? One week after I got home,
well,
my dad takes me, sits me down, and he's like, we need to have a serious discussion. When are you getting a job? I was like, I have not finished unpacking yet. Like, thanks for the vote of confidence there. So I started looking for jobs, and surprisingly, you know, it wasn't that hard to find one initially. I worked at a factory that makes rails that they use in engineering.
Didn't your, like, dad own the factory or work there or
no,
something?
No.
You fucking cheater.
He didn't actually have anything to do with it, surprisingly enough. They make rails that they use in industrial equipment. And it was the most boring job ever. I swear, I, like, blinked and 2 months went by. It was, like, living just the same thing over and over, and I really, really wanted to die. So I started looking up, like, this is the first big story is how I got this scholarship to come over here. It's, I won't name the scholarship in case I get in trouble for being on this podcast. this podcast is of ill report.
Oh. I won't deny it.
Oh, he was on that podcast, the one with the dragon dildos? No, not giving him
money. At Christmas, this is being recorded on Christmas Eve. Oh, I guess Christmas Day at 2:30 a.m. I don't know. It's probably like the 28th for you or something.
No, it's Christmas Day, 5:30 p.m. I don't have anything better to do on Christmas than record this podcast. Another tip for listeners.
You know. Like, I had my business cards with me, and I went to visit my grandparents to eat, like, ham and shit. And I handed them out to everyone except my grandparents because I don't want them to listen to this.
They don't want them to know.
If you go to the link, the first episode is unintentional gay Homestuck roleplaying. And my grandma asked me during dinner, so, how is your boyfriend Alex doing? I'm not adding any more fuel to this fucking fire.
As if it needs any more. Wait, are you telling me you and Alex are not gay? Because that's news to me.
I'm not gay.
Okay, whatever you say.
I have had 8 friends turn on me and be like, yo, are you gay? Or, like, try to hit on me. It's literally the worst.
You put out an aura.
I guess I exude, like, a fuck. I don't want to fucking talk about it.
No need for words now.
I can feel your fucking
It's
slime.
An intense smolder. A gaze.
I can feel it all the way to the other side of the fucking globe.
I mean, that is pretty cool that, you know, I'm pretty much literally as physically far away as possible physically from you on this planet.
And I can still talk to you about Homestuck.
You can't get away. For the record, so that viewers know, I know nothing about Homestuck. Don't lump me in with these people. I know about Japanese anime, which is much more respectable. So getting back to my story is working at this soul-crushing job. I was basically like a translator / interpreter, but I really didn't do much. So I looked up this scholarship. It starts with an M. And ends with an EXT, and that's literally the name of the scholarship. So,
oh, it's just called MEXT.
Yeah, it's just called the MEXT. I don't really care if people know. It's a good scholarship. Like, I highly recommend anybody who's actually doing, like, serious aside, if you're actually looking to go to Japan on scholarship and you have some academic chops, look up the MEXT scholarship. It's awesome. But, so I looked that up, and I started the process for signing up for it, all that. I did some really basic research. Because I looked online at what you really need to do for it, and it's pretty vague. You know, there were a couple of people who had won before, and they tell you, hey, they're going to tear your research a new one, and you better be able to defend it. So I prepared what I thought was a reasonable amount of research, about 3 pages on, Japanese and American business relations and how they can be strengthened through an understanding of culture and translation. Really, really basic stuff. It was basically just like, hey, I want to go to Japan. Here's a bullshit reason for me to go to Japan. And so what happened was there was all sorts of weird drama and shit at work that was basically led to me almost getting a manager fired for lying about orders on the shop floor.
Oh.
Yeah, they decided that they weren't hitting their numbers for production orders enough, and I was the one who found out about it. Because I was responsible for putting in the numbers at the end of the day. And I did what I thought was the responsible thing, was told one of my Japanese supervisors. But apparently I wasn't supposed to do that. So he almost got fired, and they didn't like working with me anymore. So
yeah,
I started
toe the line, my friend.
Well, yeah, but see, I was fresh off the boat from college. I was like, I will be a good worker and do my job like, to the best of my ability, which is the wrong attitude to have. So I was looking for a new job, and it just happened to coincide with this trip that I have to take to Detroit.
Oh.
Yeah, to Detroit to do this. I got the email back that my research had been accepted for preliminary evaluation, and there's a test and an interview part in Detroit, half Japanese, half English, for both sections. So it worked out pretty well that I got to quit my job, and I had another one lined up. With space to go to Detroit in between it. And I drove up to Detroit from Columbus, which is like, I think it was like a 3-hour drive, so it wasn't that bad. Stayed at the hotel at the consulate and, you know, tried to avoid the war zone going on outside. Driving into Detroit is terrifying. The traffic is insane. The gunshots are endless.
There were actual gunshots as you were stuck in traffic?
There weren't not gunshots. So this is where the story gets juicy, though. So I get there, and, you know, there's only Number one, I got there during the middle of a what do you call it, like
a snowstorm?
No, not a snowstorm. It was in summer, but
a sunstorm.
An all USA black preacher convention. I'm not. All right. This is the most surreal thing I've ever experienced. There's literally like gospel music and crooning going on in the lobby at all times, and these dudes. And I at first I thought it was a pimp convention. Because they were wearing, like, lavender suits and shit. And I was like,
going to pimp con.
This is not a real thing. But it was a real thing. It was like the all USA Black Southern Baptist Preacher Convention, which is a thing that exists. So the
Detroit
the
air, is probably the only place that could take place.
I mean, the air of this of the consulate, it was like a big meeting hall that also had the consulate in it, was odd. To say the least. You're like, there's like gospel music going on all the time, like just, you know, Bible thumping and stuff. It was weird. So I go to sleep and I get up for the day of the thing and I show up. I brought a suit because I wanted to be fancy. I figured a suit is appropriate if you're going to meet like the Japanese consulate. And I bring my research, which is like 3 pages. I thought 3 was enough. And I get in and I meet some of the other applicants. There's two Chinese applicants, and they already know all the damn kanji, which isn't fair, and two American applicants. And we're all sitting around talking, sizing each other up, obviously, because only one person gets to win. That's the thing. There are 6 of us and only one spot. And everybody's talking about their research, and they pull out these big stapled folders. So one of the applicants of the two who are non-Chinese... So you can write the Chinese two off because they're just like, hey, we know all kanji ever, and they get to cheat like that. It's not fair. It's not fair in the slightest. It's total bullshit. They grow up learning like 20,000 characters and like, yeah, maybe use like 2,000 of them for Japanese. It's more complicated than that, but that's how I feel about it. One of these people, right before we go into the interview process, we were comparing our research notes, and I got a look at their research. 25 pages on they did their research on anime.
Did you see any specific animes? I want to know if it was some fucking
no
Yuri
I'm sorry
garbage.
The plural of anime is just anime. Get it right
mom.
From what I understand and what I can remember, it was like the intersectionality of anime and Japanese culture and how it relates to blah 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 blah. You're not winning the scholarship. You did your research on anime. That was like one where I was like, okay, phew, dodged a bullet. I didn't do my research on fucking anime. Because if there's one thing that the people at the fucking consulate are sick of seeing, is like weeaboos. You don't roll up to the actual Japanese consulate and be like, konnichiwa, I love me some Naruto.
And expect, the young shin, my dude, konnichiwa.
And expect them to give you money. Like, you're there to make them look good. They don't want weebs running around with their hachimaki headbands spouting off about fucking Precure and Naruto. It's not gonna work. I'm sure that yaoi is a very in-depth subject that deserves lots of detailed research, but this is not the time, and this is not the place to do it.
I plan on doing my college thesis on how yaoi relates to giant heads and enormous hands.
You joke, but I'm sure somebody has actually done that. I'm not even kidding. Like I could come up with an academic title for that now. Redefining Masculinity, a study of art forms as they relate to the yaoi.
I was just going to call it Yaoi Yaoi Days. It's a good Joe joke.
Is that a JoJo reference? Is that a fucking JoJo reference? I think the person who wrote the least besides me had about 20 pages. And the person
Jesus.
Who wrote the most had like 40. So I'm feeling the pressure. I was like, oh, I may have underestimated what is required for this. And they start giving me those side-eye glances like, oh, I guess it's really only a competition between us four. And this is another freeze frame, you know, where it zooms in on the
main character.
I was going to
say, this sounds like fucking Max Keeble's big move.
Right? So it's one of those freeze frames where it zooms in on the main character, Nate's face, and you're like, uh-oh. When the door opens and in walks this Obama-looking motherfucker. The tallest, like, you know, like those college diversity magazines that have, like, the really cool
look?
Exactly. Everybody knows those, right? This dude walks in, and he's like, oh, nice to meet you, everybody. My name's Fancy Black Name, and I'm here for the MEX scholarship. I was thinking about getting this one, or maybe the Fulbright. And if I don't know if you know the Fulbright scholarship, but the Fulbright scholarship is like, hey, he's the governor of Mississippi, Fulbright scholarship award winner, and it's that sort of thing. It's like the Big Daddy scholarship. You win a Fulbright, and you're basically set for life. So in walks this dude with a big-ass folder of his research, looking articulate as hell, and he is cutting a dashing figure in his suit. Like, the man looked presidential, and I was shitting myself. Just, you know those fear sweats that you get when something bad is going to happen?
I have them constantly.
I got the fear sweats. Also, I was the only one besides him wearing a suit, so you had to compare me to him. So, I mean, this will come up later, but I'm not exactly the tallest dude. I'm a solid 5'7". This dude was 6 foot, and he cut an impressive figure. And I was shitting myself. So we get into the test part, and the English is fine, thankfully. The Japanese, I found out, they changed it from the previous year, and it's written now. So you have to write the kanji, whereas before you didn't have to, and I didn't study for writing the kanji.
Oh, shit.
So I felt real bad. I came out of that shaken. Then we go into the interview part, and they grilled me. They grilled me hard. They were like, hey, this research sounds dumb. Hasn't this been done before? Tell me exactly why you think this is worth doing. Like, why do you need to go to Japan? And I was like, let me explain to you. Homestuck.
And they silently nodded, took down a bunch of notes, and dismissed you.
That's interesting. We'll let you know. And that was the last I heard of them after I left. So the drive home was, it was a somber affair. It was not good. Like, my parents called, they're like, hey, how did it go? And I was like, it went. They're like, do you think you got it? And I said, no. Normally, when I apply for these sorts of things, you know, like, you take a test, you're like, you know, it could have gone better, but I still think I did pretty good. I was like, nope. There goes that. So I start my next soul-crushing job as a translator. And that one went belly up, too, because they said, hey, we're gonna sign you up to be outside sales. And I was like, cool, that sounds fun. Where I get to, like, talk to people in Japanese, and because they're a Japanese, like, car manufacturing company, blah, blah, blah. And then they get there and, like, hey, remember how we said outside sales? Well, what we meant by outside sales was data entry.
Gotcha, good.
Like, really? Is this happening? So I did that for, like, maybe 3 weeks, but they paid me an ungodly amount of money. Just piles of it. It was disgusting. Like, okay, if it's a year and a half later now, and if I hadn't taken a trip to Colorado, which we could talk about maybe if you want, and almost died, if I hadn't have taken a trip to Colorado and bought a new computer, I would still have like $4,000 left over.
What the fuck? What the fuck would you do? What did you do that was so important?
Nothing. I did nothing. Literally.
You just gotta speak basic Japanese.
My immediate manager didn't want another data entry person, so he didn't want to train me to do data entry. I didn't want to do data entry, so I just translated documents and then had my direct supervisor, who didn't really speak English, retranslate them because she didn't like the translations I did. And so
did you just skip the middleman, Mitch? Just like, here you go. Just grab it from your to-go pile, just hand it to her.
Yeah, basically. And they're like, and then they use them in meetings. And I was like, that's not my translation. It has my name on it, but that's not my translation. It's wrong. They're like, no, this better. And I'm like, going to go ahead and disagree, but this paycheck is really fat. It was a disgusting amount of money that they were paying me. And I'm frankly surprised that I got the job to begin with. So I quit that, and I took a trip to Colorado, because I thought, at that point, I was sort of depressed. I was like, I'm not going to Japan. It's not happening. I'm going to take a vacation. And right, like, I think it was the day after or, like, the day before I actually quit that prompted me to quit was I got an email and they're like, hey, you won. I was like, wait, really?
Wait, after, like, how long?
It takes forever. It was like a 3-month lag between the date of the examination and the results. And then they send you to secondary screening. And you have to pass the secondary screening. And then they send you to a final screening with the target university. And if that comes back positive, they send you to a final screening. And then you know if you're going. Like, 2 months before your leave date. Which is really great. But I took a trip to Colorado and I almost died. I took a trip to Colorado by myself and I almost died.
How did you almost die in Colorado?
Well, okay. I like camping. I'm a physically fit, active guy who is also
I think I know where this is going.
A massive weeaboo. See, this is part of my character, which is, if you looked at me from the outside, you would not realize that I am a disgusting weeaboo. Like, I'm
this
fit.
Is true.
I got muscles. Like, I do powerlifting now, and I was just getting into it at that point, so I like hiking and shit like that. So I decided I wanted to go to Colorado for the fresh mountain air. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. It's very smoky out in Colorado.
I think I'm picking up what you're putting down here.
Right? They got a lot of, they got a lot of pine trees and stuff. I was a good boy before going to Colorado. I'd never done any drug of any kind. But it's legal there, so I was like, oh, you know, I'll give it a shot, see what the hype is about. Wasn't that great, to be honest. And I know tons of viewers will be like, what, man, dude, weed's great. And I'm like, eh.
I don't think we have the dude LOL weed audience.
No, they're going to come out now. they can feel it when somebody's like, eh. They get a little notification on their phones that they have to bitch about weed being awesome.
Their phones that have a shattered screen because they fucking dropped it.
Exactly. So I got out there and I was just solo hiking, which is a terrible idea.
Like, in Colorado.
The first rule of hiking is don't hike alone. But I was there for a week by myself. So what happened was some other people were at the campsite and they had marijuana wax. And I'm not sure what they call that.
Wax?
Yeah, it's like
wax. A fucking candle?
Well, so it's like a distilled...
Are they like the fucking bottle caps that are like full of soda that you chew on?
No, you put it in a vaporizer and it gets you really high.
Oh, so you vape too, bro?
Yeah. Vape nash, brah.
puffing them white cotton.
Vape nash, brah. So, I had tickets. There's two times that I almost died. I bought tickets to go whitewater rafting, and I was smoking with these people, because, you know, we're all bros at this campsite now, because that's what marijuana enthusiasts are like, right? And I realized, and this is really stupid, and I honestly feel really fucking dumb about doing this, and I was like, The thing is what it hit me later. So I took a couple of puffs on this pen, and then I get in my car to go drive to, through a twisty canyon highway with no guardrails. And
this man won a scholarship.
Yeah. But see, the thing is, I've been clean. I haven't done any drug whatsoever for the last then, since then, which is a year and a half ago. Like, yeah. Because they're serious about that shit in Japan. Like, you will get your ass thrown in jail real fast. But,
for having the marijuana sticks.
Yeah, it didn't hit me at all until halfway I was driving through and I realized that everything seemed to be playing in slow motion.
Oh, that.
And I was like, boy,
Jesus
I need to pay
Christ.
Attention real hard. So I drove like 10 miles under the speed limit and was like 10 o'clock at 2 o'clock, hands gripped. And so I got to the whitewater rafting place and it was awkward because it was a bunch of families. It was like two families and me. And the guides were looking at me like, dude, come on. And I'm like, I just want to go whitewater rafting. And before the raft took off, there was a taco stand. And I was like, I should buy some tacos beforehand. And they were really good. They were really good tacos. And the guides keep looking at me. I was like, hey, man, these tacos are really good. And they're like, yeah, they are good. And they knew that I was high, and I knew that I was high. But neither of us were willing to be like, hey, maybe you shouldn't go whitewater rafting.
I'm glad they prioritized safety.
But, well, what was funny is that it was absolutely unnecessary because I was literally the safest person there because the other guy paddling next to me was some French guy, and all he kept doing was yelling amazing in French over and over. And to be honest, he might have been high too.
What is amazing in French?
I have no idea. I don't remember. But he just kept yelling it. Like, he would not paddle or listen to the guide's instructions at all. He was just yelling, wow, this is amazing, in French, a lot.
Qui a coupé le fromage?
Omelette du fromage. Like, whispering it in my ear, essentially. So I got back from that. And, I mean, I could have died in the canyon, for sure, driving my car. Definitely could have died, but the real time that I could have died, and I posted about this on Facebook, and I think you probably saw it, was I went solo hiking, and the weather changes real fast in Colorado.
Yeah, because you're up in high elevation.
Yeah, it can be sunny and nice in the morning, and then just rain out at night. So
it's got two personalities.
Nicest guy you ever meet, and twisted fucking psychopath. Yeah, Colorado can be your angel or your devil, baby.
God damn it.
These are the jokes, people. So I went out hiking on this trail, and it was supposed to be a trail to a lake, and I thought, hey, that'd be cool. And I didn't have an altimeter with me, but I did have solar panels and all sorts of cool hiking shit, plenty of water, food, all that. But it doesn't really matter because I hiked, I want to say 2 hours up, and I got to a point where it's an entrance gate into, hey, we don't patrol this area. And I was like, that's fine. The lake is supposed to be really close to here.
How do I get to the lake? The lake.
It was summer, so I was like, it's plenty warm, and I have, a jacket if it gets cold. And so I kept hiking, and I was like, hey, this is neat. There's snow on the ground up here. Because I was really high up. I looked later at where I was, and it was about 12,000 feet. So it's hard to breathe up there. Especially if you're not, acclimatized, which at that point I probably was a little bit. But so I'm like, hey, where's this lake? It's been a long time. And I looked, and I've been hiking up for about 2.5 hours, which means hiking out takes another 2.5 hours because it's not a looped trail. And then there's a pause and a record scratch and another freeze frame. Uh-oh. Where the sky gets cloudy and it starts raining. That's bad. I'm going to go back now. And then it goes crash and lightning strikes very close to where I am. And I'm like, oh, that's my signal to start leaving quickly. So I start doing the white guy fast walk down the mountain. You know, the worried shuffle. Because the last...
there's some minorities in this neighborhood, and I'm going to quickly walk on the other side of the street.
There's an articulate black man about to take my scholarship, and I must go quickly. because it became clear to me, too, that twisting an ankle at 12,000 feet when no one knows where I am is probably also a bad idea.
It's a fucking death sentence.
You're actually not supposed to do any of the things that I did solo hiking. And I really hope my parents don't listen to this, because I came really close to being trapped on a mountain in a thunderstorm with no cell phone coverage alone. So I'm hiking quickly down. You know, like the SpongeBob, it's time to start running. It was that scene playing out in my head. And so I did what any reasonable person would do, is I took out my phone and I started videotaping. And, I took a video, and I was like, hey, this is me, it's at 12,000 feet, and if this is the last thing you see of me, somebody delete my internet search history. And I uploaded that to Facebook when I got data. I was still on the mountain. I could have definitely still died where I was, but it was important to back it out.
Ravioli, give me the formuoli.
Luckily,
His last words. I
made it to my car. And I just kind of sat in there with the AC on. And I was like, well, we're never doing that again. And then I left Colorado.
Get the fuck out before it can get you again.
Right? That was my trip to Colorado. And after that, I started my... Well, I had to look for another new job after the money the money was running a little dry. It turns out when you have a scholarship and you're saying, like, hey, I'm going to leave to go to Japan in April of next year, people are less likely to hire you. Like, a lot less likely, it turns out. And I like to be honest with people and be like, hey, you know, this is the deal. Here's what's going on. And they're like, we'll call you. And then they don't call. Until I finally got to a place, and it should have been a warning sign, I guess, that they were willing to hire me, and they didn't ask where I would be in a year. It was a moving company, a Japanese moving company, where they take people who are moving from Japan to the United States, or vice versa, and pack their shit up. So I was doing translation and heavy lifting for them, and they didn't ask.
That's kind of an odd combination of two things. Well, so this is starting to sound like some fucking goon work.
It was goon work. 100%.
Like, you're working for the fucking Penguin or something.
Like, man, if I had a uniform, for sure.
Oh my god, you would have totally been like a Bond villain goon. You would have been transporting illicit materials or something.
Oh, we did transport illicit materials. That's the story here.
Oh boy.
Is I had to call the EPA on my first week. They made me
I had
do
to
it.
Do that at work. We they spilled like 47 gallons of diesel oil when you have to call the EPA after 7, and instead of having us call them, my boss literally went to Walmart and bought 75 pound bags of kitty litter and like just fucking covered the entire back lot.
You can't do that.
It was literally a foot deep. A foot deep.
That's pretty good.
Oh, they filled up the garbage can with the oiled like clay, and they couldn't take it because it would start a fire. It was pretty great. We had to put them in garbage bags and slowly dry them out over the rest of the summer.
I'm pretty sure that's all kinds of illegal.
Oh, for sure.
No, what happened for me was, I mean, in the interview, they did not ask. They didn't ask where I was going to be, so I didn't tell them. It was like the gay army. Don't ask, don't tell. They didn't ask if I was going to be here in a year, and I didn't tell them that no, I was not. So I got hired, and one of the first things that I found out was one of my coworkers was homeless and living at the office.
Huh.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy, kind of.
I mean, that's nice of them to allow that, but it's like, hold on a second.
They didn't really allow it so much as they didn't turn him in. Because he's the only one working there who knew how to do anything. Because they bring, like, new Japanese workers over who are just like, hey, this is your job now. And they don't know how to pack anything. They don't know how to, like, load things in an efficient manner. So he's the only guy who'd been there for, like, 20 years and knew what he was doing. So he was like, I need to stay here for a few weeks. And they were like, please don't quit. And, yeah, he was a cool guy, other than his, like, weird drinking habits. And, like, yeah. So they taught me the job, which was basically lift heavy thing, put box in car. And talk to Japanese people, which was nice. I mean, I liked the job a lot better than my boring office job before. It paid, like, really poorly. It wasn't good. But it was enough to get me through to get to Japan, and that was how I was able to do it. It was just, like, hunker down and realize that the bad times will end soon. And what happened was we went to somebody's house, and we were unloading their bed from Japan, and they pack their stuff up themselves, and they're supposed to check everything. But a lot of these Japanese salarymen do not exactly have what we could call hygiene.
Ooh.
They live at the office, and they don't clean when they get home. And their houses are very, very gross. And so we open up this thing, and out tumble all these little bugs.
Oh.
And we're like, whoa, we're not going to do this. This is bad. We gotta see what these are. Oh, they're bed bugs. Oh, they're Japanese bed bugs that are on a list that says, hey, you can't bring these into the country. It's a big, big deal if you bring these into the country. And our manager's like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's not our problem. And I was like, no, this is a problem. I can't be doing this. And my other coworker's like, I'm not touching it. Nope. Won't touch the bed. Won't bring it into the house. Won't bring it out of the house. You need to talk to the customers. So I was like, okay. So they tell me, hey, Deadeye, you need to, none of us speak good enough English, and you're an articulate college-educated young man. You call the EPA and tell them what's up. So here I am sitting my first week on the job, on the phone to the EPA for a company whose name I barely have memorized. I'm like, excuse me, is there anyone at the EPA that I could talk to? We have to report a bed bug infestation. And they're like, we'll call you back. They didn't call us back. They're like, hey, just, you know, get everything sterilized and cleaned. And so we couldn't use the truck for a week. And we had to tell the customer that you can't bring bed bugs into the United States and that you might want to buy a new bed. And I don't think they did. I think they just kept living with bed bugs in their house.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was gross. It was real gross. And during this whole time, I've been on 4chan reading a brand new manga. Well, it's not brand new. It was newish to me. I'd been following it, but it's called Monster Musume.
Ah, yes.
You're supposed
I've
to react
heard of this.
To that. Because it's all I fucking talk about. And
it's your homestuck.
It's not really my homestuck because it's not terrible.
Hmm.
But
interesting.
The threads are just as shit, that's for sure. So I've been following this, talking to people online about it, because, you know, I speak Japanese. And at this point, I got onto Japanese Twitter, made my own little handle. Shoutouts to @PulpFan69.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and plug that in your fuck. I'll plug it in the description if you give me one more Japanese tweet token.
You got it.
This is the currency between us. I do you a favor, you give me a tweet token.
Yeah, I tweet ridiculous things for him in Japanese, because that's obviously worth something. So
it's worth a mention in the description of a podcast.
I've been following that manga for a while. This is while I was working at this terrible job, so basically just killing time and reading it on my phone while I sleep in packing containers on the job, because there's nothing to do. Like, when there's no houses to move, they just pay us for being there. And they're like, you need to clean up. And they're like, this is a warehouse. It's never clean. So we push the mop around for a little bit, dust, and then I go sleep in a packing container. We had old... The cool thing was it wasn't just like on cardboard, because we had old furniture and stuff around. So you take like a couch, you take some gross blankets, and you build yourself an adult pillow fort in the back and sleep in a packing container and read Monster Musume on your phone. And get paid to do it, by the way. I was literally getting paid to shitpost on 4chan.
That's basically what I was doing at Road Ranger for the final few weeks.
It's living the dream.
It was. And then I got fired for making a dick joke.
That's the best way to go out.
Like, honestly, real talk, if I had to choose a way to get fired from a job, it's that.
I mean, is
like,
there
I made a poorly timed dick joke.
Is it? Can it really be poorly timed if you got fired for it? Isn't that, like, the best timing?
That's true.
Like, that's maximum impact.
That was the job where I technically wore a fursuit, too.
I've not heard this story.
I think I told it in Noise Boys, too. But my boss had a giant Cookie Monster outfit. And I'm like, oh, shit, let me get in on that. And I put it on. I came to the realization, this is just a fursuit.
No, Cookie Monster is a specific fetish, though. It's different.
I'm Cookie-kin. Yeah, I'm in Devore.
Please don't.
Munch me, Daddy.
God. Don't do this. I don't need these images in my mind. I've been a naughty chocolate chip. My cookie dough is only half baked.
I'll be your sugar cookie if you be my sugar daddy.
God damn it.
Let's stop.
I think we were talking about
the cookie crumbles.
God fucking damn it. We're talking about Monster Girls now, okay? This is less degenerate.
So furry cookie monster.
I started my Twitter account sort of as a joke, just because, like, I found out that the author is on Twitter, and holy shit, that's kind of cool. Like, you know, you could tweet at him and, like, ask questions and stuff. It's like, wow, that's kind of cool. And the neat thing is, this guy is awesome. We call him Crabman, but his Twitter handle is Okayado, which is just Hermit Crab, because he's a shy boy. he makes this ridiculous fetish manga to pander to fans as hard as he possibly can. Like, he just...
Living the dream.
Exactly. No, he started... The comic started off as a series of porn comics, and somehow got picked up for serialization, and no one has realized that it's just fetish bait, and it's fantastic. I mean, there is story to it now, but that's not how it started. So I tweeted some questions at him about my favorite character, and he answered them, and I was like, wow, this is really cool. And then I told 4chan that he answered them, and they're like, dude, stop, you can't have him come here. You can't defile this place. Like, you can't let him be defiled by this place. So around that time, I found out through those threads that the translator was really sick of the series. Like, they just weren't into it anymore. They didn't want to keep doing it. And this is when my time at that packing place was winding down, as I was gearing up to move to Japan. And I was like, well, I like translating. I could do it. And they're like, yeah, whatever. We really don't want to do this anymore. You got it. So that's how... It's not an interesting story how I became the translator. Like, I didn't go through any hoops or, like, prove myself other than not being retarded in Japanese. They're just
and
like,
this is... And just to clarify, this is, you know, an unofficial fan translation.
Yeah, this is an unofficial fan translation. The official translation is done by Seven Seas, and if you want to support the manga, I highly recommend you buy their translation. If there's anybody from Seven Seas listening, which they're probably not, there are many things that I disagree with them about, but their demographics are different, so it's kind of hard to nitpick when you get into that. There are some things I think they're wrong about, but at the same time, they're translating for a much broader audience. So
some of the changes that they make might be geared towards that.
Yeah. They add a lot more puns, and I can't forgive them for it. Ugh, puns. But yeah, so I do the unofficial fan translation, which is up on all the, like, the manga sites. But once I started doing that, I found out, and this is where the dream comes in, living it. My favorite character is Pult, the kobold, because she is a fitness instructor and works at a gym and is ganky tomboy, and that's, like, the toppest of top tiers.
Ah, and, I hurt my eyes. I rolled them a little bit too hard.
See, well, okay, now this is where you get to say some bullshit about Homestuck to make up for it.
I refuse to say anything.
Exactly, see?
I will keep myself clear.
Right? I get to say, hey, you know, Genki Tomboys are the best ever. Without a hint of hypocrisy or irony. I mean that 100% unironically, it's the best. And I'm giving you the opportunity to say something about Homestuck.
Caliborn is my sweet baby child, and I would cherish him.
Lovely. So, the character, at the time when I started, the character had shown up, like, I think once or twice. And I kind of went all in on Twitter. I was like, this is my favorite character. She's the absolute best. A pure cinnamon roll who is too good for this vile world. And it turns out, like, he was doing, like, a contest where, hey, fans of the series, you can show up in the manga. And I was like, that's me. This is me. This is my time to shine. And I was, like, the last person to make the cutoff. He was like, we're not really doing this anymore. So what I did was I took a gym selfie of myself flexing. And I sent that in, and he's like, dude, you're buff. I was like, thank you. You too.
Whoa, Scoob. Whoa, Shaggy. I'm buff. Fuck, I forget how it goes. Buff Shaggy or Buff Shaggy RP.
Buff Riku. Buff Riku is where it's at. That's me, IRL. So I took this picture, and I really didn't expect anything of it. And I was like, please, please, please put me in the manga with Pult. And he's like...
Like when we were trying to get into the Overwatch beta, and you said a bunch... You just started talking about talking about anime with the support.
Yeah, I got
threatened to tell the support team about Homestuck until he gave me a beta key.
I got on support, and I was like, hey man, what's your favorite anime? And he's like... Oh man, I forget what he said, but we talked about anime for like 10 minutes, and I was like, can you get me an Overwatch beta key? And he was like, no, can't do it. I tried to sweeten the deal, and he wasn't biting. So I didn't learn about making it into the manga until well after I moved to Japan. So I had translated a few chapters, and the character that I liked started showing up more. And I was like, huh. That's cool. I bet it doesn't have anything to do with me. And then he gave an interview and was like, there's some guy on Twitter who really likes Pult. And I was like, huh, I guess she's an alright character. I'll add her in more. And 4chan got real upset at me. Like, hey, you piece of shit. Stop having characters that you like. Stop being an upbeat and fun person to be around, you asshole. They're like, they accused me of bullying him, of like, moving to Japan specifically to track him down and force him to add my favorite character into the manga, and they're not wrong.
It was all part of the plan.
My Keikaku was completely 100% Dori.
Sure, why not?
I mean, that's how it happened, 100%. It's not like I was just talking to the guy and having fun, translating questions for fans, being a nice person.
Being a goofster.
Just having a few laughs. A few laughs with some friends, some bros, being degenerate, talking about Monster Girls, you know. So,
oil.
I moved to Japan after all of the ridiculous next stuff, living in a tiny apartment, and I woke up one morning, the day that the new chapter's coming out, to see my face plastered in a Japanese magazine, like, zoomed in. And that was probably the most surreal moment of my entire life. Because I had to walk to the store to go buy the magazine, realizing that I look like the guy in the magazine, because it is me.
Literally.
Me. Literally you. Me. So now whenever there's threads on 4chan about, like, hey, post-anime and manga characters that are literally you, I just post my own face with a shit-eating grin. Because it's literally me, you guys. No, I it was weird, because I was on Twitter, I was like, does this mean that whenever I go outside, I'm technically doing cosplay? And they're like, wait, yeah, shit, that does mean you're doing cosplay. And then, it's weird, because I'm holding the manga right now. Like, they come out in magazines to begin with, and then the chapters get collected into volumes. And that's how most people buy them. And Monster Musume is a New York Times bestseller.
Jesus.
For manga, yeah. New York Times bestseller. And if you open up volume, should be volume 12. Yeah. Volume 12, chapter 43, the first pages of where they show up at the gym, there's a guy with a beard and a comb over, because my hair is going away, looking very stern, and that's me. And it's very, very odd. Like, it's weird.
It's something that shouldn't happen. This is part of my theory about the Berenstain, Berenstain universe.
We have definitely moved from the Steen universe into the Stain universe. There's no doubt about it.
We've moved from the control group. We're undergoing testing.
We passed through the low probability bottleneck to where anything can happen.
I'm trying to think of a wackier example that happened more recently, but you know,
Trump winning the election.
That was the joke.
That's the wackiest thing. Oh, the South Korean government being run by a literal cult of like like weird religious cult that got overthrown. Like, that shouldn't happen. But here we are.
That's true about pretty much most major governments.
That shouldn't happen. Hey, don't do that. But I mean, it was very odd, because it also put me in the weird position of translating my own dialogue. Because for that chapter, I have some lines, and they're in Japanese, written by somebody else, and I have to translate them back into English. And I'm like, wait, so do I change this to what he wrote, or do I
keep, what you would
like,
say?
What I would say? Because it's me talking, but it's not me, because it's two-dimensional me. And,
this is some, like, African voodoo shit.
Well, basically what I've decided is that it's an alternate universe version of me who has ascended to a better reality.
One missing a dimension.
Well, yeah,
but gaining a meaning to life.
We're all trapped in this 3D prison.
This 3D fucking meat prison.
It's a nightmare. A never-ending nightmare.
I just want to fucking get home after going to my cyber job, fucking slide in my Homestuck vid sim into my fucking data jack, and just fucking sit there.
I mean,
that's what I want.
That sounds like what I want, except replace all of those things with Touch Fluffy Tail.
You know, different strokes for different folks.
Yes, stroke the tail as well.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I kind of fed you that one. I should have seen it coming.
That was free. So what I ended up doing was I kept the dialogue the same, but I just made him say brah and bro a lot. What's even weirder is if they end up doing a season 2 of the anime for it, will I get to voice my own lines? This is the question. Because then I would be like, as of right now, I think, and if anyone else knows, I think I'm the only person from A who has ever ascended from a lowly meat person into the glorious 2D realm and become an actual canon character in a manga. And
I would say as a full-blown character, probably. Like, references, I'm sure those have been dropped.
I've shown up twice now. I had a second cameo.
When?
In the background of one of the latest chapters that they're at an expo, and there's a bunch of dudes from the gym, like, working out in the background, and I'm one of those dudes working out in the background, getting my pump on, you know.
Nice.
But,
nice.
There's a lot of people on 4chan who are very upset about this. As they should. What's really funny is, like, 4chan was a mix of, hey, fuck you, asshole, and hey, that's pretty good. And Japanese Twitter was just like, I love you, man. That's awesome. So cool. Great. Happy birthday. Amazing for you. I was like, wow, Japanese Twitter is way nicer than 4chan. Some guy for my birthday literally sent me out of nowhere a DM, and he's like, hey, man, I got you a present. Can you, like, give me your home address? And I was like, yes?
I mean, just so you're aware, doesn't Japan have, like, crazy serial killers?
Yeah, I mean, that went through my mind. I was like, this could be a crazy serial killer. But then I remembered I have some muscles, so I was like, I'll just punch him. I'll just punch him real hard. But I was like, what I did was I gave him my address, but I kept
one door over.
I didn't give him my real name. I put it down as Pulp Fan. Which was unfortunate because the mailman came to my door and was like, does a Mr. Pulp fan live here? And I had to answer in the affirmative. It's like, yes, unfortunately, that's me. It's a Mr. Pulp fan 69. I really regret choosing those numbers. Yes, I picked them on purpose. I regret doing so.
It's just like the URL of this podcast. I kind of fucked up. Too late to change it now.
It's like the story of my life. Kind of fucked up, but it's too late to change it now. You gotta roll with it, man. Like, Japanese is a worthless language to study right now.
It's just like you learned it just to, like, translate pornography.
Not pornography.
Like, little
particular.
Girls' cartoons.
Not in particular, but yes. I learned it because I really do like the language. Like, it's a fun language to learn. Like, kanji's really cool. Language sounds really cool. But in terms of, like, future use...
Practicality?
It's not so good.
German is a language like that, where it's just real fun to say.
Yeah. I mean, you can say happy birthday to somebody in German, and it sounds like you're cursing them for 1,000 years.
Yeah. Or words like Wurmcoil machine. That's just fun to say.
That's really cool. I don't know what that is.
It's Wurmcoil engine. A 6-cost colorless 6/6 death touch lifelink worm from Magic the Gathering and Mirrodin Besieged. When it dies, you get a 3/3 lifelink. Feel free to cut me off at any fucking time, dude.
I was just going to see how long you were going to go with that. I mean,
bitch, I remember the entire card because I love it. It's the Caliborn of Magic the Gathering.
Must you? Must you work
If I go 30 minutes without talking about Homestuck, I will die.
I see that. If I go 30 minutes without thinking about Fluffy Tails and Animal Ear Girls, I will die.
We're not so different, you and I.
It's really funny because I go out, like, and walk around in Japan a lot, and I get stopped by the cops because I'm white and I look imposing, apparently. I've been stopped, like, 6 times, and they try to search my bag, and I tell them, sorry, you need a warrant for that, and they really don't like it. But I'm like,
what do they do? Do they arrest you for being white?
No, you just have to show them your gaijin card and, like, hey, I live here. I'm not, like, selling
just like
drugs.
My favorite YouTube personality, Gaijin Goomba.
God, no, please. Fuck, kill me. I'm like the polar opposite of that guy.
I don't know, he made a pretty good music video.
There's two distinct classes of weeaboos, okay? There's those of us who walk in the shadows. And then there's the, oh god, here they come kind of weeaboos.
The ones wearing a Glomp Me shirt.
Yeah. So, those of us who walk in the shadows, like myself, we don't let you know that we're horrific degenerates. Like, I could be walking around outside in Japan and you'd be like, there goes a tourist with a beard. You would not be able
He's probably going to eat some sushi or something.
Yeah. You would not be able to pick me out of a line of people and be like, him, that's the degenerate. But you'd be wrong. You would be oh so wrong. It's really funny because, like, I've gotten noticed. Well, that's another thing, is I got noticed by, like, I was going to some event for Spice and Wolf. It's another series that I really like. And I was going out to an event to buy some of the new books and stuff. And somebody was, like, tapped me from behind and was like, "Are you Pulp Fan?" And I was like, "Oh, God, I am."
They didn't say Pulp Fan 69?
No, they... Thank God they don't add the 69. But he tapped me and was like, are you Pulp Fan? And I was like, "Fuck, I am, aren't I?" And so I was like, "Yes, that's me. You noticed me from the internet, I presume." He's like, "I follow you on Twitter." And I was like, "Oh no. Oh no. I don't know how to interact with these people." He was a really cool guy, though. Like, we hung out, talked about Spice and Wolf, talked about Monster Musume, and went, like, hunting for degenerate anime merch in Akihabara. And it was really cool, but it was really awkward meeting him at the beginning, because I never thought I would be one of those people who would get noticed in public.
Yeah.
Like I
don't ever expect to be noticed for hosting a shitty podcast on YouTube anytime soon.
It's just not
so
one
I imagine
of those
it'd be the same, like, whoa, what? Yeah.
Like, the same thing happened when I went to Comic-Con, like, the big comic convention over here. Like, I went wearing my tank top. I've got, like, a Sports Club Kobold, which is the name of the gym, tank top that I wear. And I wore that, and people were like, I was scrolling through Twitter during the event, because they keep news up, and people were like, "I saw Pulp Fan walking around," and I'm, like, looking over my shoulder for these people, because they wouldn't come up and talk to me, because they were too shy. But now I know
they were too
watching.
Scared.
Like, there were people watching me, and I didn't know who they were.
They're in the trees.
They're crafty. They're sneaky.
How do you think they won the Korean War?
That's how they did it. Japanese are crafty. You gotta keep your eye on them. They'll vibrate through the walls.
When you're not looking, they can shake their molecules. You ever heard of Radical Larry?
That's what I was talking about. I was thinking of Radical Larry.
Well, actually, I was about to make a racist joke. Let's just skip it.
Skip.
I'm gonna say it anyway. Radical Larry.
What's funny is I do that sort of shit all the time with some of my Japanese friends, because they're like, "We want to learn English," and I was like, "Okay, say the word rocket launcher." They can't fucking do it.
Please reenact for me how they say rocket launcher.
Rocket launcha. They can't do it because it's the R's and the L's. There's no distinction between R and L in Japanese. They just have one sound that's in between both of them. So if you try to tell them to say something like jewelry.
Oh.
Jewelry and rocket launcher. If you ever want to piss off a Japanese person. But at the same time, Americans and people who speak English as their native language generally can't speak Japanese for shit.
Dude, English is a bullshit language.
Well,
if I was not born in Trump's America, like, there's no fuck away I'd speak English, dude. I would be so fucked.
Oh,
I don't even remember what a fucking synonym is.
Synonym is two words that I'm going to get this wrong and sound like a dick. I'm not going to say it. I don't have 100% confidence as to what a synonym is.
Synonyms are like words.
It's words
that
sound the same. It's either sound the same and have different meanings or sound different and have the same meaning.
Yeah, like the fuck is a gerund? Get out of here.
I'm going to look that up now because I feel like an asshole. Synonym. A word or phrase that means exactly or nearly the same as another word or phrase in the same language. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but my point is, English is a bullshit fucking amalgam of a whole bunch of languages.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel bad for anyone who has to learn it.
I feel bad for anyone who has to learn English. Like, it's stupid. English is a dumb language. The hardest thing about learning Japanese is kanji. Like, that's it. Once you get past...
For English, you have... Hoo boy, there's a lot of rules.
Well, and the rules all have, like, they all have exceptions. Like, there's tons of exceptions to rules in English. Japanese, like, if you get Japanese grammar structure wrong, no one knows what the hell you're saying. And they'll have to be like, huh? Like, what are you talking about? If you get...
Yeah, for English, you can kind of fuck up the grammar, and people generally get what you're trying to say, at least.
Which you would think is like, oh, English is more forgiving, but it also means that you can't get better. Like, there's no hard feedback system for English that makes you stop fucking up. In Japanese, if you fuck up parts of the sentence, you'll say things like, instead of, I fed vegetables to the kids, you'll be like, I fed the kids to the vegetables.
Hardcore. I like it.
Yeah.
It's something you just fucking seed in the garden.
Right?
Jesus.
Like, they're buried behind the shed. The hardest thing about Japanese is the kanji. Like, once you get past the first grammar hump, it becomes a lot easier. It builds off of itself. Like, all the verb forms are really, really easy for Japanese. Well, you never have to worry about how to conjugate a verb, because once you know how they conjugate, you learn a new verb, you know how to conjugate it. It's easy. English is stupid. Trying to teach people, like, no, it's not run, it's ran. Like, it's not...
I mean, German has gendered words.
Try to explain that to somebody.
Or through and through.
Yeah, fuck that. Stupid.
Yeah, German has gendered stuff, and that's the most complicated thing about it, is just remembering der, die, das, you know, feminine, masculine, and, like, neutral.
No.
Just, like, there's only trying to figure out what the fuck...
we're not having any of this SJW stuff here. Hey.
German's the most cucked language.
It's the most cucked country. Can't say that. Ooh. Can't say that. How PC is this podcast?
Well, I mean, if you shorten podcast down, it's PC.
Oh, fuck. You're right.
Nani.
Nani?
I know what nani means. I don't know what masuka or yamuro means.
Yamuro!
Yamuro!
Yamuro is like, stop. Like, quit it. Cut it out. masaka is like, I can't believe it.
I can't believe it. Yamuro.
Yamuro! Is like, stop it. It's the command form of yamuro, which is like, to quit.
All right, but that's how you swoosed your way,
fucking
focused attack dash canceled into being drawn into a manga.
Yeah, which is the best thing to end it on is in 4chan. Right now, I'm the only trip fag you can talk about while still being on topic.
Oh.
You're allowed to circle jerk about me, and it's not considered off topic posting because I'm a canonical. Is that how you say it?
You exist in the second dimension.
Yeah, I exist in the second dimension. So I could be like, hey guys, here's what I did today. I can blog post. I don't
You
do
could
that.
Just straight up shit post with just the biggest grief because they can't do anything about it.
Can't touch me. Except they
We've
can.
Won.
They could just fucking
we did it, Reddit.
They could just derail the whole thread. I guess, oh man, the differences between posting on 4chan and Reddit are so different. Like, I post almost exclusively on 4chan. Because everyone's an asshole, and I prefer that.
Mm-hmm. Brutal honesty mixed with bullshit.
Yeah, I'd rather everyone was like
bullshit mixed with bullshit.
I would really rather everyone was an asshole to me, just because it's funnier. And like when people are like, "Hey man, thanks," on 4chan, I know they mean it because you don't get fake internet points for being nice. Mm-hmm. The second time that I've posted on Reddit was just for like, "Hey, this translation had some corrections. I want you guys to have the right stuff." They like immediately started sucking my dick, and I was like, "Please, please don't do this." They're like, "This fandom like revolves around the work you do," and I'm like, "Please, no, I translate it. I don't write it, man." Like,
the word fandom. I think that might actually be what a trigger word is.
It triggers me.
I'm getting sweaty.
Like I like. The
I'm gonna
series.
Start screaming about Homestuck.
I'm not.
We
a
better
part
shut
of
this
the
down now.
Fan.
Whew.
So basically it comes down to don't suck my dick.
Don't suck my dick, dog. I just trans... Okay, hold on. One question before we end this. How many dicks can Mia fit in her mouth?
Fuck off.
She has a distendable jaw.
Distendable jaw, you piece of shit. Her upper half is human, okay? It doesn't work this way.
Yeah, but she's got scales and she's got a snake tongue.
Stop triggering me. It's like the damn people are like, I don't understand. Polt is a kobold, but they're dog people, so why can they sweat? It doesn't work that way, okay? It's a fictional universe. Stop triggering me.